Hello, everybody. Welcome to the show. My name is Stephen D. Kelly, and this is the Stephen D. Kelly Show, and we are Truth Cat Radio, www.truthcatradio. It's now January 30th. Oh, my goodness. Really? It's the end of the month already? Oh, my gosh. 2025. Oh, life is so quick. Grace is babbling in the background. You know, okay, listen, guys. If for some reason at about 6:10 or 10 minutes into this broadcast in approximately 6 minutes, the computer might turn off. The server might turn off. This is Windows screwing with me. I tried to delete it. I said, okay, no, don't do that. But it said, good news. We're going to reset. We're going to reboot your computer at that time that you specified. I'm like, what? 10 minutes after my show starts? No. Anyway. And then my computer hasn't crashed all week, at least for a week. So knock on wood, right? Let's hope it doesn't crash tonight. But if it does, just wait 15 minutes or so for me to reboot, and I'll be back. Anyway, all right, obviously tonight I have to talk about current events. And to be honest with you, as I've said many times before, I just as soon withdraw and not have to see this stuff and witness it. I mean, some of this stuff is just so bad. Some of it is certainly interesting, but it's all sickening. And we can, and what do? We talk about the various crime, you know, bullshit that's going on, instead of focusing on the one mission to end it all. Grace, stop it. Jeez. Anyway. So I've got to dive into it. Of course, I have to talk about the Trump's follies. But I'll start out tonight with the plane crash in Washington into the Potomac. Plane from Wichita, Kansas, landing at Reagan International Airport, collided with a Sikorsky Black Hawk helicopter, military Black Hawk, supposedly with a crew on board who all died, who we're hearing had thousands of hours of flight training. Some people try to say, well, the Sikorsky was a robot-controlled drone, which they have. They just introduced it at Washington here last week. But it's a tragedy. And a lot of people, of course, they say, well, what's the deal? You know, what's the thing behind the tragedy? And interestingly enough, there were figure skaters coming back from a competition in Wichita, of which several of these people, at least three, I believe, were Russian citizens. And they all died, of course, on this plane crash. Now, people have asked me, of course, what's the deal? What can I say? And again, I hate to even look at these things. I'd rather play video games than have to look at stuff like that. But I look, and I see what I can see, and I don't see anything bad. I mean, obviously, the military pilots, I think, were well-trained. I think the aircraft that was coming in for a landing, it was coming in for a landing when this happened, obviously was not responsible. If anybody was responsible, it would have been the flight controllers. Now obviously I need to talk about the skaters on board and stuff like that, but the flight controllers, apparently this is where the failure was, clearly, and no one really wants to talk about it, but Trump has come out and made a few comments, and he blamed it on DEI hiring practices. Now, I'm inclined to believe that's probably true, and it's very interesting. The symbology here is really interesting, because those of us that are old enough to remember will remember during the Reagan presidency, he had a run-in with the flight controllers. They were striking or something about conditions, whatever. And he basically replaced them. I don't remember the exact details of it, but here we are to have this tragedy, 76 whatever plus lives taken at the airport bearing his name, at least on a plane that was landing there, to have it be affected by what appears to be inadequate human skill involved. Now, it's also being said that the person involved was doing two jobs, for whatever reason, was doing the job of two people. I don't know again. Now, when they say DEI hiring, all I can assume was that the person was a woman or transgender or some other qualified minority. But hell, even being Jewish now has become a qualified minority, according to Donald Trump. Now, anyway, reality is that a job of a flight controller is extremely difficult, extremely high pressure, extremely important, and the danger and potential for catastrophe is significant and ever present. So the slightest deviation from protocol or human attention span or concentration would be enough. A split second would be enough. So clearly, in a tragedy such as this, the Black Hawk was doing night training, which I assume means they were flying with their lights off. But of course, they should have been in contact with the civilian air traffic control that they were in the vicinity of, and the civilian air traffic control should have been able to alert them to an incoming aircraft, certainly. At the same time, the air traffic control, at the very least, should have been able to alert the plane coming in for a landing to abort the landing and take a maneuver or do something. So obviously none of this happened because no emergency maneuvers were requested, no evasive actions were requested, nothing of this nature happened. So obviously, when it comes down to human error, assuming the pilot of the jet was not a DEI hire also, which has been a problematic issue, I suspect that, yes, it certainly was the flight controller. Now, you want to talk about conspiracy. Other than the obvious, there are a few other things that we should probably notice. One, the runway, I believe, was number 33. That the plane was landing on. Again, I hope I'm not confusing it with something else. I could go look, but I'm not going to bother right now. But the point is that over and over and over again, we see these bastard satanic masons flaunting this crap in our face. It's almost every single time we see a mainstream media coverage of a fire in LA or something of this nature, you're going to see a firefighter that conveniently has 33 on his helmet, or you're going to see a fire truck that has 33 on it. This is just something they are throwing it in our face. They are very blatant about this stuff. They don't care. It's just like the guy that they appointed, I think Gavin Newsom appointed, to be the head of LA Rebuilds, a guy named Corey Wasserman. Now, again, we're very close to this whole issue because we've been following the shenanigans going up on Northern California, Sacramento, El Dorado, Placer County, and the vicinity. And we see these cycles repeating down here in the LA area, led by none other than the Sacramento stooge himself, Gavin Newsom. Now, here's the thing about this Corey Wasserman. Again, they don't hide it. There are photos that have turned up of Mr. Wasserman acting very buddy-buddy with none other than Jeffrey Epstein and Ghislaine Maxwell. And Ghislaine Maxwell has her arm around his shoulder. And it looks all very cozy. Now, knowing what we know, we should think about this a little bit, because what do we know? We know that Wasserman, again, association, guilt by association, but we know that Mossad, Epstein was Mossad, and Maxwell was Mossad. Her daddy was Mossad. The kid she grew up with, Antony Blinken, was Mossad. No one wants to say this. No one wants to say the reality, the in-your-face, the elephant in the room, the connection between this evil, wicked agency run by the State of Israel and all of the horrible criminal activity that it's connected to. And again and again and again, beat that horse. But again, like I have told you guys many times, this is why we have the Occupy the Getty mission, so I don't have to beat this horse. I don't have to say the obvious. I don't have to be a raging anti-Semite. I'm a raging anti-Getty, anti-bunker, anti-pedophile, anti-human trafficking, anti-cannibalism, anti-torture, anti-satanic blood ritual. If you're a member of the tribe or anybody else and you're connected to it, the truth will come out. But damn it, you're not even trying to hide it anymore. Trump has come out and said that he didn't say he's Chabad, but he said he's not Christian. He took the oath without putting his hand on the Bible, as I said. By the way, Hospice Kitty Cat, the one that used to hang out in the backyard, is still here. We're going on the fifth show now, but he's not eating. He didn't eat today. He ate some red meat and stuff yesterday. He was really looking, perking up a little bit, but today he's not doing anything. So not happy about that. Going to keep on keeping on, try to give him some broth and stuff like that. Maybe he's got a little blockage. I don't know. We'll see. But such is life. So I'll probably share his condition with you, positive condition with you next week, God willing. Back to the Trump thing. A lot of the things, of course, that Trump is doing, or at least alleging to endeavor to do, or at least expressing intention to do, we're very happy about. Now, I'm skipping off the Mossad, but the connection is still there, because I'm now going to talk about the poisoners. And we know that these guys, the enemy, are the poisoners. And one of their chief ways of poisoning is with a vaccine and their control of Big Pharma, the vaccine industry. Now, there's a couple little things, but Robert F. Kennedy was getting his confirmation, I guess, before Congress. And they're trying to confirm him for whatever it is, head of Health, Human Services, FDA, whatever that department is. But the point is that whenever somebody such as him or Tulsi Gabbard or Cash Patel or whoever Trump has nominated has to go up there and answer questions and be grilled by these bastards before they can be nominated. Now, apparently, Congress or these people, these committees, have the power to block a nomination, one of these nominations. So we know that when these people go up there, they have to lie and say whatever they want to hear, kind of like a salesman does when they're trying to sell you something, or a politician. They're going to lie and tell you what you want to hear. So that's what they had to do. So we have Robert F. Kennedy saying he's not anti-vaccine. We have Tulsi Gabbard saying Russia started the war. They invaded Ukraine. Little things like that. You got to tell them exactly what they want to hear. Now here's the thing about Robert F. Kennedy. Like him or not, and I personally don't think he's going to change anything. I think he's compromised, of course. But the people that were giving him the most trouble today during his confirmation hearing was Bernie Sanders and Pocahontas. What's-her-face? That bitch, I can't remember anyway. Screw her. Anyway, and I'm not talking about the Mexican woman either. Nah, I'm not going to look it up. I don't want her name. Anyway, the point is that both of these individuals, interesting enough, they're Democrat, of course, I believe. I think one of them was independent at least at one time. But point is that they were passionate and frothing at the mouth about Kennedy and his work to basically remove vaccines from our reality, whether or not you believe that true. And one of the displays, the thing that Bernie Sanders had, he had a big photo behind him of a pair of onesies, which are little outfits that you dress a baby in. It's a little thing you can open up for the diaper. I mean, if you've had a baby, you know what a onesie is, like a little pajama outfit. little jammy outfit. But anyway, the point is that they had big pictures of these things in Congress, confirmation hearings, and apparently these onesies are actually sold by a group that Kennedy is involved with, which is, of course, vaccine injury, anti-vax, whatever group, some sort of group, grassroots type thing. And one of the on the onesies it says, proud to be unvaxxed and no vax, no problem, something like that. Some little anti-vax slogan, you know, to show so people could go around and say, my baby isn't vaxxed, which is something that's actually a big deal now, because if you don't have that mRNA in you, your blood is pretty special. Anyway, Bernie Sanders was just frothing at the mouth, pointing at these onesies and saying, look, look, your organization is actually making money selling product that's anti-vaccine. You want the vaccine companies to go bankrupt. Now, here's the thing you have to understand about the vaccines and the scale of what we're talking about here. First of all, Bernie Sanders has taken millions of dollars from the pharma industry in donations or contributions. And the other bitch, Pocahontas, whatever her name is, maybe I'll remember it, the one that claimed to be an Indian white woman, she took like $4.5 million from the pharmaceutical companies. So Warren, that's her name, Elizabeth Warren. So they're sitting there screaming at this guy about, you're going to hurt the pharmaceutical companies, and each one of them is taking millions of dollars. I mean, think about it. Just the concept of somebody handed you $1 million, who were you working for? You know, just to kind of give put this in the sense of reality, not to think that Congress people are just special. No, they're human, okay? And they got millions of dollars to do this. Now, they suggested, first of all, the company was making money selling baby pajamas. Who knows how many of these things they sold? It's like me trying to sell Occupy the Getty t-shirts. It's not to get rich. It's to get that message out there. So clearly the money had nothing to do with it, but he was bitching at them as if to suggest that they were profiting off attacking the pharma industry, which was such a good, benevolent thing that happened to pay him millions of dollars. But here's the thing about the pharma industry. Most of our debt, which is up to something like $40 trillion, trillion with a T, for the United States of America, was paid to Big Pharma. They've already gotten that money. We're holding the bill with the interest that never goes away and only gets bigger and eats away, and they want more and more and more. Just like when Trump was here last time, I'm not talking Biden now, I'm talking Trump. How much money did Trump pump into the vaccine, the anti-COVID efforts? Billions of dollars. Billions. And then there was that whole, what do they call that, stimulus crap? How many billions was that stimulus crap? I didn't get any stimulus. That was a bailout for somebody, but it's always about the money, money, money. They were not going to stop. So the point is that I just find it absolutely nauseating to see these two people supposedly representing little constituencies that are actually representing these huge corporations which have actually taxed this country to death and are continuing to do that. And we'll talk about that a little bit more, but it's mind-boggling. It's mind-boggling. Now, something else Kennedy did, apparently they talked to him about Ozempic or whatever it is. It's that drug. It's a weight loss drug, the one that the Hollywood people, so many of them were taking it. It was turning them into these zombies. Well, apparently the company that makes this drug, Ozempic, something like that, is a European pharmaceutical. And this one drug has made that European pharmaceutical the richest company in Europe now. the rich. Remember, Europe's not doing shit. They don't have any fuel anymore. They're all dying. They're becoming third world. And Volkswagen and Audi are now going to be sold to the Chinese, and they're going to become electric cars. That label is dead. Mercedes is dead. It's all dead. The Fuhrer would be crying. The point is that Congress now is going to take that drug, and they're going to make it legal to and approve it for dispensing and prescribing to children to combat childhood obesity, which is supposedly an issue. You know, I mean, because children eat shit and they don't exercise, they sit on their asses and play video games, you know, kind of like I do. But obviously that's a curable thing, but they want to give these children, remember, this is a drug that's debilitating, that turns people into emaciated wraiths, zombie looking types. We've seen it over and over and over, and they want to prescribe it to children. Now here's the thing. The company that makes this drug, Nordic something over there in Europe, is already the richest company in Europe. It's already the richest company in Europe, and this is going to give them another $1 trillion if this happens. And of course it will, because anything that they want, they will steamroll. Now, I've already told you that Trump has backed off on a lot of what he's promised. And Kennedy, will see what happens with him, and several of his key personnel have already been deleted. But this is all a big scam, of course. I hear Kennedy now talking about CRISPR, which is amazing. But I have yet to hear him say anything about bacteriophage. Nobody's done that yet. So-called experts. What else is there to talk about? Kind of burned out about all of this crap. Did I mention that they're giving Jewish businesses minority status so they'll get special government handouts? Incredible, isn't it? You know, one of the most horrible things to come out of Donald Trump's mouth recently, and this is real, and I think this is, to me, much worse than taking Greenland or taking Canada or taking the Panama Canal or any of these other stupid ideas Donald Trump has, but the expulsion of all the Palestinians. And I'm talking about Gaza now. And when they talk about Gaza, you know that the West Bank, Jerusalem, is not far behind. They're already starting on genocide in the West Bank. But Gaza has been flattened, and people are starting to return to northern Gaza, kind of like people are starting to try to return to Pacific Palisades to find nothing there. But these, of course, these people here, Trump, what does Trump say? He says Egypt and Jordan should take these people. Now, Egypt, of course, next to Israel, is the biggest recipient of American aid. Huge, huge amounts of money, billions and billions of dollars, go to Egypt and Israel. And this, of course, was Jimmy Carter, Camp David Accords, whatever bullshit he did, where Anwar Sadat and Begin got together and shook hands. And of course, they made peace with each other. But this, of course, cost the United States shitloads of money. And ever since Jimmy Carter, we've been giving them shitloads and shitloads of money. Now, Egypt, too, has been getting shitloads of money. But bear in mind, Egypt gets less money than Israel. And Egypt has, let me see, 40 times more people, okay? Probably. You know, go do the math. I think Israel is something like, oh, I don't know, somewhere between 2 and 4 million people, counting the Palestinians. I mean, you know, the Jewish population is relatively small. And I believe Israel or Egypt could be anywhere 40 million or more. You know, it used to be, remember when Iraq had like 80 million people? Boy, did Israel hate that. How many people did they used to have in Syria? How many people are in Jordan? Well, Jordan's been bought off. King, what's his face? Abdullah is a pussy. I mean, I know he acts all tough when he puts on his Air Force flight suit and goes out on missions to bomb ISIS. At the same time, having ISIS training camps inside of Jordan. I mean, my God, it's disgusting. So Trump wants to, he thinks He's a realtor. Everyone goes, oh, he's into real estate. He wants to run all those people out, go through there with bulldozers, flatten out, develop it, and build sparkling, brand-new, gold-plated Trump Tower, etc. He couldn't do it in Moscow, so I guess he's going to do it in Jerusalem, in Rafah, areas like this. Seriously, expel the Palestinians, split them up, whatever, 2 million people, however many it is. Half of them go to Jordan, half of them go to Egypt. And, of course, if Egypt, everyone in the whole world, I mean, obviously the Middle East is furious about this. Not since Antony Blinken have they been this furious. And trust me, they all hated Antony Blinken. But they're not happy about this at all. And he doesn't care. He doesn't care. Seriously, guys. I really hate having to dwell on Trump. Let's see if I could come up with something better and shift gears here. But before I do, I know there's a lot of you here. Let me. There's some other questions I will try my best to answer from the group today. Let me just give you a little bit of feedback real quick on El Dorado County. The IRS is starting to do some investigations. Several of the judges and interesting people involved in the county government over there are starting to be investigated and audited and, well, let's just say cases and things are being reviewed that all of these people have been involved in. So in other words, any little slip up, any little dirty stuff, any stupid thing that they had out there that's lingering in the past is going to come up, and they're all starting to stress out. And I want to thank all of you that have helped that, because of course with anything, it's death by a thousand cuts. Look at that. Somebody's trying to join the show right now. Thank you, caller, but I'm going to have to hang. Who knows who that was? Sorry, caller. So that's a good thing. I want to encourage you to keep that up. I have to talk about service to others because that was what was one of the questions that came up today. But I want to tie it into the bigger picture a little bit because the work that we're doing is so important. But before I get into that real quick, I'm just going to throw this out there. If you guys want to help me out economically, don't hang up. Please, PayPal, Stephen Kelly, 714 at yahoo.com. Listen, I'm going to put sprinklers on my roof and get a pump. I got a pump right now I can use. I just got to get a big container of water. I'm thinking, yeah, I'm going to do that. You know, I talk trash about all these people that don't have sprinklers and the fire comes. Well, you know what? Time to put some sprinklers on the roof. It's not that hard to do, even though I live in a very, well, let's just say tinderbox ghetto. If I put sprinklers on the roof, what are they going to do? By the way, my lawsuit with the city has been initiated. It's only in small claims right now, but we'll see. That should be enough. What else? Gosh, there was something else I wanted to tell you here real quick. Oh, yeah. On the day of Trump's inauguration, a fan, I guess, an Occupy the Getty fan or a listener, one of you guys, somebody that might even be listening right now. I'm sorry if I should know you. Patrick, I believe his name was. I don't really keep track. I know a few Patricks. But anyway, he called C-SPAN. During the election, C-SPAN had live coverage where they took callers while they're following this thing during the inauguration. And it went on for something like 11 hours where they had this ongoing call-in show. And Patrick called in. And if you get the video, it's something like at the 3-hour 11 mark. Anyway, Patrick talked a little bit about free energy and this and that, but then he got into, and we need to investigate, Trump needs to investigate what's under the Getty Museum. And of course, he was pretty much cut off after that. But the point is, people, and here we are talking service to others, and we're getting back into what you can do to make this mission happen. I've done the work. I'm doing the work talking to you right now. I will continue to serve as whatever possible way I have. Sorry, caller, I can't take you. Just to get this going. But be like Patrick. Okay? Seriously. It's like when Howard Stern used to have people calling in and talk shows and things and saying, "Bah, bah, booey." They were trolling. Go out there and troll. Go troll C-SPAN. Go troll every single live call-in show you can find. I don't care how big, how small, whatever. You know, people, you have a lot of power right there to put in the effort. It's just like this guy, Corey Wasserman, that was chosen by idiot Gavin Newsom to run this Rebuild LA effort. Why? Because why would anybody devote their life to such a thing? Well, obviously we know why, because it's his job. It's part of his heritage. He's there to do damage. What are you here to do? Are you here to save the world? If you are, be like Patrick. Put that seed in the brain of people out there who are mindlessly listening or watching TV, listening to mainstream politics talking about Trump. Force it into the narrative like a gangster, like an operative. I'm not going to call you a terrorist, maybe a ninja, but you know, gosh, you can do it. Set it up, say what they want to hear, and then boom, hit them with the Getty. Do it intelligently. And someday, hopefully very soon, they'll actually respond and they'll say, what is it with this Getty thing, and not hang up on you. And sooner or later, Trump is going to have to say something. Cash Patel or whoever is running the FBI is going to have to say something, or they're going to have to try to do something to me. Either way, it's going to fulfill our mission and get people's attention. And that's how we fulfill our mission, by getting people's attention. We don't take the tiny, tiny little group of people we have and go launch some terrorist invasion of a museum. No. You're nothing. You're a drop in the bucket right now. You got to take your energy and spread it. You know, there's a line from a movie, Cuba Gooding Jr. and Jack Nicholson. It was one of my favorite movies, is where he tries to be a deep sea diver. Can't remember the name of the movie, but there's this commander that runs this base where this guy's training. Navy basically trained the divers, and he made a comment to Jack Nicholson, where he says, you know, Commander, it only takes one teaspoon of fuel oil to ruin the entire water supply on a ship, to render it, you know, worthless. Well, that's interesting, because of course, this was a racist thing. He was suggesting that if you allow this black guy into the Corps or whatever, this elite organization, that somehow it was going to ruin the whole thing for everybody else. But at the same time, one man's ruination is another man's salvation. We know that. When Jesus says, behold, I have started a fire, I have started the world ablaze, and I'm going to watch it until the fire consumes everything. I mean, obviously I'm paraphrasing, but yes, this is how we do it. We light those fires. You be that troublemaker that lights those fires. And the fire, of course, is Occupy the Getty. The metaphor, every time you see these fires around the Getty, you think, oh, something's happening, something's happening. No, the lesson is, be the fire. Be the spark. It used to be my goal was to be the spark to start the flame. And every time a little flame would start up, somebody would stomp on it. And I would persevere and keep doing it and keep lighting fires, and someone would eventually always come by and put it out, like my Facebook groups and YouTube and whatever, every time, you know. But I didn't give up. I started over, and here we are today. But the point is, now, as a result of all those sparks that I've cast out there into the field, so many of you have caught it and are spreading that fire, and they can't stop it. They can turn off my computer. They can shut me down. They can do everything they can to control me and stop me from doing something that they think is going to help with the mission. But my secret weapon is you guys, because they can't control that. If I infect you with my intentions and my endeavor to change the world through this mission, then what are they going to do about it? It's just like it used to be when they worked so hard to break me by squashing every contract I would get in the laser business. They would just destroy it. When things were the bleakest, something would happen. Somebody would come and buy something, and I could pay my rent. I could keep the electricity on, whatever. And I knew that I didn't get what I wanted, but I got what I needed. Anyway, point is, I knew that no matter what they did, they couldn't stop that. They couldn't control the average person from getting it in their heart that they need to do something at any given time and spontaneously doing an action, whether it's a donation or a purchase or whatever. Back then, now, it's somebody decides to get off their ass and call C-SPAN or call someone else or light a fire somewhere. Pick somebody, Alex Jones. Troll Alex Jones. Troll all these people. Why are these people not being trolled constantly? You know who I troll is Carrie Cassidy, of course. And she's putting out some shit right now that's just insane. And, of course, it's involving Trump, whether or not Trump's going to get involved with some sort of alien information and what have you, like he's going to access some off-world, like Pleiadians, or who knows what kind of bullshit is coming from Carrie. But the point is we all know that she is professional bullshit. It's just like when Ahmaud Painter over there at Revolution Radio says, that TV Kelly guy is going to lie. Lie? What am I lying about? You know, seriously, I say so many things. What am I lying about? I mean, obviously, if it's Carrie Cassidy, am I lying that she was called me from the Bilderberger meeting? You know, here's Carrie Cassidy's narrative now. She's pushing this narrative pretty hard. Rather than saying that she was at a Bilderberger meeting with Alex Jones and David Icke, her narrative now is that she was at this meeting protesting it with Alex Jones and David Icke. You know, that's her stance. Never mind that she called me to say that the Bilderbergers put a hit out on me, which I would assume she would only know if she was actually at the Bilderbergers meeting. Anyway, so point being, if it didn't happen, why would I make this shit up? I don't have any reason to do it. It's like, how melodramatic is that? Oh, the Bilderbergers put a hit out on me because Carrie Cassidy called me up while she was over there doing a protest to tell me this, and I made this up because I don't like Carrie Cassidy or whatever, and I'm trying to cash in on her name, some stupid thing. Seriously. As if I would plan this outrageous bullshit for some nefarious purpose. It's insane. It's just like the whole Getty thing. Come on, people. It's so complex. The story is so complex, and it doesn't deviate. That's why I wrote a book. It doesn't deviate. It hasn't changed. It's the same damn story. It's not going away. And that's why I'm so damn dangerous, and that's our secret weapon, because I'm not going away. The message is not going away. You're not going away. It's in your head. That's not going away. And all we need is all of you that have this in your head, that have yet to have it in your head, to get it, to get that fire, to rage up and do the work. Call in those shows. You know what I did? I had to make some copies for evidence for my Stephen E. Kelly for President thing. So when I go sue the city, I had to submit evidence. And while I was there, I handed that printer $90 for 100 Occupy the Getty stickers. Okay? Seriously. You guys paid for that. Your donations paid for that. And, you know, to me, that's like, wow, that it was hard for me to do that because that's not the sort of thing I spend money on, stickers. You know, it's kind of weird. You know, it's like a weird investment. You know, $100 for little stickers? What? But you know what? I was giving money to that printer guy. I was helping support a struggling business. So, yeah, I'm happy to do it. And I'm looking forward to the result of when I start sticking those things all over the place. But I'm telling you guys, do the same thing. If you want to be same as me, use Arial Bold. That's a font. White letters on a black background. Hashtag Occupy the Getty. That's what the sticker is going to say. And, of course, like I told the printer's like, what's this Occupy the Getty thing? And I said, well, you know, the hashtag is supposed to tell you how to look it up. Type that hashtag Occupy the Getty on your computer and see what comes up. Okay, people? It's amazing, you know, when I think about it. I mean, this mission is getting famous. There's people all over the world that know about it, and it's growing. Even if it's just a conspiracy theory, it's the granddaddy of conspiracy theories, and everybody's working so hard to put it down, it's still growing. You know, I did this interview. What was it? Oh, yeah. Somebody posted a clip of that guy on C-SPAN, you know, for a minute, whatever, talking about Occupy the Getty on C-SPAN. And some idiot called Truth and Justice or Peace and Truth or whatever, some bullshit fake name, starts giving me crap, calling me names because I'm still trying to get the children freed from the Getty, as if to suggest that this was old news. And why am I still talking about the Getty when there's hundreds of other bases and places where children need to be rescued? Well, fuck you, you stupid asshole. First of all, you're not using the real name. But first of all, you know, why don't you devote 20 plus years of your life and everything that you own to exposing one of these bases? Just pick one. Focus on it. Demand that it be exposed. Well, you don't, because there's only one that we can do that to. What good is it going to do talking about Dulce or Denver Airport or China Lake or take your pick? Edwards Air Force Base, Area 51. You're never going to get anything from any of those things. But the Getty is the weak link. They can't defend it. They have no reason to come out here after however many years that this thing's been in operation and say, yeah, you got us. It's actually a national security installation. It's an NSA base. Yeah, we're using the art to make sure that nobody nukes our base. And it gives us an excuse to defend this thing with deadly force. But you know what it represents? It represents a commingling of the public and the private. You know, in Russia, they have bomb shelters for the citizens, and they're not even socialist anymore. And we're supposed to be capitalists, but no, we don't have it. So like good capitalists, the bomb shelters are strictly for the people with the money. We don't get that. We're just cannon fodder. And that's why the Occupy the Getty mission is so damn uncomfortable for these bastards. Again, people, it's really up to you. I mean, I tell you the same thing every time. You know, same thing every time. And thankfully, a lot of you are getting it. It's just like, you know, Patrick on C-SPAN. I know a lot of you are doing so many great things with videos and what have you, you know, like Isabel over there on Twitter. And, of course, you're getting screwed with. We're all getting screwed with. But if we weren't doing damage, they wouldn't be screwing with us. So be proud of that. Okay? We are special. We're very special. If you're a Jedi, you're extra special. Anyway, people, so go out there and light some serious flames for me, okay? Not literally speaking, but you can do this. This guy keeps calling up. It's like, no, guy, I can't take your call. I don't know why he's still calling in. I appreciate the listeners, but no, you can't listen to the show by calling that number. Or if you're just trying to disrupt, whatever, it's not going to work. I'm easily distracted, I know, but that's old age probably, right? Anyway, again, thank you for tuning in. I'm just going to say real quick, there's a decent amount of you listening, and I know if you came late, you can listen to the recording afterwards, and I hope you did enjoy the show, even though I didn't get to talk about Ukraine, which is toast. I didn't get to talk about Israel that much other than what Trump's done. What else did I not get to talk about? European democracy or the lack of? Oh, yeah, I wanted to talk about DeepSeek. All right, real quick before the show's over. The United States got its butt kicked by China, basically, and this is why NVIDIA, which makes GPUs or basically cards that are primarily used as graphic cards for playing video games, these things are also used for mining Bitcoin, but the point is they're also used for AI. And apparently one of these chips or cards that they use for AI is $25,000 each, and they use a whole lot of them. And the point is that the NVIDIA model for AI was extremely, extremely expensive. And this is why companies like ChatGPT and all that, Grok, they could do it because they had tons of money to invest in this hardware. Anyway, many, many countries have placed their future on thinking that they're going to become AI superpowers, like Britain and Keir Starmer said a little while ago. India wants to be an AI superpower. They figure they got the brains. They can get enough rupees together to figure this out. Well, the bottom line is that China basically had a company that allegedly created a very good working AI system for a fraction of the cost. They still used NVIDIA hardware, but they used very little of it to have a functional system which was working very well. Anyway, point is, it's called DeepSeek. The point is, the whole market freaked out when this happened, and the shares of NVIDIA stock dropped over $557 billion, a billion with a B. They lost over half $1 trillion of stock value. That's huge. Imagine Zelensky creaming, dying over there. I, Podolyak, $500 billion. I could have bought a lot of shit with that. I could have bought a lot of houses. Anyway, point is, biggest drop in history on one company. And, you know, you'd think that that would kill the company. But, no, this is not the first time NVIDIA has lost huge amounts of money. It's the third time they've lost huge amounts of money. The only time a company has lost this kind of money was Meta, Facebook. And they were, like, with the records, I think they're, like, number two for big losses. It's NVIDIA, Meta, NVIDIA, NVIDIA. And then it goes on to other companies. But, yes, huge, huge losses. So what this did was it put a big dent in the Americans' feeling of superiority and our confidence that our technology would always be superior, that would always, in the end, give us the advantage over our enemies. That was a big deal. To me, this is right up there with when the United States lost its monopoly on microchip production, when the Japanese came up with a machine that used a shorter wavelength and made better chips. And that caught us blindsided. And if you don't think the United States is already a major power when it comes to AI, think again, because they use it a lot. The military uses it. The Pentagon uses it. The NSA uses it. They all use it. And it is bad news for people in many, many ways. And when you think about AI, you also have to think about quantum computing, because it's only a matter of time before you can add quantum computing's infinite abilities to AI. And AI can do what it does based on the number of computers connected to it, the number of these damn cards. You can run a million operations if you've got a million cards. It's like having a million workers computing. Well, with quantum, you could have an infinite number of workers computing. Okay, it's like when Trump says that he wants to come up with an anti-cancer vaccine and he wants to use AI to do it. That's because he wants to replace human researchers with artificial computer researchers that could be multiplied by buying more machines, just like the Pentagon does to crunch numbers. They want to do this in the United States. They want to do this for everything. Well, people, if that's your job, tough luck. Okay? You better start making music videos like the little girls that made Sigma Boy in Russia. You see that? 11 and 12-year-old girls that made Sigma Boy. Catchy little tune. And the EU wants to ban it and calls these little girls terrorists and whatever crazy ass shit. I saw Vladimir Putin playing the song on a piano, which was impressive just because he's a good piano player, but it was impressive because it made me realize the song's not that bad. Holy crap. No wonder they're afraid. Holy crap. Anyway, people, that's what I have for you tonight. I want to thank you for being with me here. And if you haven't tuned into the Truthcat or the Occupy the Getty / Stephen D. Kelly on Telegram, what are you waiting for? Again, I'm trying to light a fire under you. That's all I'm good for anymore is trying to light a fire under you. I need you to do the work. Okay? Seriously, I do. One of you. It's just, you are my AI. You are my GPU. The more of you I have there, the more work I can do. You're my quantum computer, all right? I need you to do the work. You're my algorithm, all right, people? Get out there and do it for me, all right? And if you want to help out, of course, it's Stephen Kelly 714 at PayPal, and you got to say friend or family. I'm sorry, Stephen D. Kelly 714 at yahoo.com. You got to say friend or family, or I'll send it back. Thank you, all of you that have done everything. Thank you, every one of you that have put in as much work as you've done. You know what? I can't thank you enough. I just can't. And I thank you for being part of this effort. Okay? So I'll see you here next week. I'll see you in the group. I'll see your emails. If you want to email me, it's law17gun at AOL, L-A-W-17-G-U-N at AOL.com. You can get a healing. You can learn about being a Jedi. You can get a copy of the book. You can get the link to the Telegram group. Okay? I want to hear from you. All right, guys. Thanks for being here. Impress me with all the work that you do. I'll see y'all soon. Once again, my name is Stephen D. Kelly, and this is Truth Cat Radio. This is the Stephen D. Kelly Show, the one and only on the one and only truthcatradio.com. Good night, everybody. God bless. Adios. And goodbye.